What do you do when your husband passes away with cancer and then your teenage son is also diagnosed with the disease? Today I have with me Ashley and Michael Kramer, who are capturing the hearts of people all around the world with their inspirational social media content, podcast, and book, documenting their challenges, wins, and mindset for Michael to survive. They've been inspiring me so much. So I reached out, and here we are. And I have to say, this is one of my favorite interviews, as I was blown away by their perspectives, mindsets, and spiritual beliefs they shared with me. You seriously don't want to miss this. And I'm so happy to welcome Ashley and Michael Kramer. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
Happy to be with you. Yes. How are you?
Yeah, really, really. I'm really glad you're here. You know, I'm so impressed. You know, I've been following you on social media for a while, and I've been watching, you know, your inspirational content and what you're doing to get people to think differently about cancer due to your story. And I just want to thank you for everything that you're doing, because, you know, so grateful for people like you in the world. You know, it's like a ripple, sending your information out to as many people as possible.
I think it is a ripple effect. I agree with that.
Yeah, thank you for acknowledging that and seeing our content. That means a lot.
I know. We're so
honored. Yeah, I've been watching. It just draws you in to, you know, the pain that you've been through. So I want to, you know, go to the beginning of the story of what happened and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, for sure. So the story begins in around March of 2020, when the COVID lockdown had really started to become a huge thing. I was a student home from college. I was an athlete. And before this, I was actually a windsurfer on the Olympic development team. So very athletic background, and not a guy who would ever really get too sick or feel too tired or ever just like want to sleep a lot. And I found myself during the lockdown wanting to sleep more, being more tired, and finding it hard to wake up early and do my early workouts that I was doing before. And for a little bit of time, this dragged on, but it wasn't too extreme. It was just like, I'm just tired. There were really no symptoms until I started to develop night sweats. But my mom and I honestly thought it was because we're in Miami and it's super hot, and the sun was coming in through my window in the morning. So I would wake up kind of sweaty, and I was like, okay, this is definitely just because summer's coming. It's like 80, 90 degrees out in the morning already here. It's crazy. And it was just that. And until I started to get a little bit of fever is when my mom and I really started to worry, because it had been going on for probably like 2 or 3 months at this point where I just didn't feel like myself. So my mom and I, we called our family pediatrician. At the time I was 19. She went and saw me over a telehealth, just like a Zoom. She heard my symptoms. She thought I was okay, and if it stayed the same or got worse, we should go in and do some blood work. And a few weeks later, we went in and did some blood work because everything kind of just stayed the same and I still felt pretty exhausted. After she got the results from the blood work, she sent us to a specialist at a pediatric hospital. He did some blood work of his own, and he asked us to spend the night in the hospital to do a bone marrow biopsy. And at the time, I wasn't thinking anything. We weren't thinking it was cancer. We had no idea what it was. We thought it was anemic.
Really? I'm vegan. I was like, I'm not giving him enough red meat in his diet. You know, okay. That's really where my headspace was. Yeah, COVID. Thought he had COVID at one point. Like, maybe it's COVID. The symptoms at that time were so different for everyone. We're like, maybe it is COVID.
And I don't know how we didn't see it, because 4 years before this, I lost my father to cancer and she lost her husband to cancer. But we weren't even thinking cancer, because I was so young.
And
I was
healthy.
So healthy. I never had serious health scares before this. So it was a complete shock when the next day we found out I had leukemia/lymphoma. And it took them actually 3 weeks to officially diagnose me with hepatosplenic T-cell lymphoma, which is a rare and aggressive form of blood cancer that has a very small chance of survival, at about 15% chance at a 5-year survival rate.
The average survival is 8 months.
The average survival is 8 months. And if
yeah,
I am extremely lucky. It's been over 3 years that I'm still here.
Yeah. So one of the things is the doctors, when they did give us, so as Michael said, they told us he had cancer. He had a blood cancer. They weren't sure of the type. They said usually it takes 24 to 48 hours. They couldn't figure it out. It took, like Michael said, 3 weeks. And it's because it's such a rare cancer, they'd only ever seen it one time in his hospital. So they were sending out his blood samples to other hospitals, well, his bone marrow to other hospitals. And when we did get the results, the first thing his oncologist said was, please do not Google it. And I think that that was really important that we did heed that advice, because I think I knew when him saying that meant that if I Googled it, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And so we really did try to keep a really pure mindset. Like, we're not going to worry what happened to other people. We're going to focus on how Michael is doing. And he did go into this, like, I want to say healthy. I mean, he had been an athlete. He'd been so healthy his whole life that his doctor was like, you are going into this such a healthy, strong, young guy. You're 19. Mm. And I think that helped put us on the right path of being like, okay, no matter what's happened for other people, you have this chance. We felt like there was hope. We did not feel hopeless when he was diagnosed. Hard, brokenhearted. Why is this happening in a way? But we had a lot of hope.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest things is the year before I was diagnosed, I kind of felt like I went through like a spiritual awakening in a way, because before I was diagnosed with cancer, actually a year before, I had mono. And when I went through the mono and the hepatitis, it kind of gave me, I had a lot of anxiety after, because I lost a lot of weight and I started meditating. And for a whole year before I was diagnosed, I was meditating every single day. I got into the best shape of my life. And then I was diagnosed. And I feel like the diagnosis, I was kind of prepared in a way to battle something extremely difficult like cancer. And going into it, I was the strongest mentally and physically I'd ever been, which was good in a way, because when I started chemotherapy, I was able to do little workouts, like lift a few pounds, lift a few weights and do some things. And I think what really got me through everything in a way was being in great physical shape
and mental shape, even though, as we said, we can do COVID, but you know, I think
the mental side of things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now I'm interested where that's come from, because I'm wondering, what was it about the meditation, do you think? You know, on my podcast, which is, you know, there are a lot of meditations. People are listening to this and be like, oh, great. Well, there's some on this podcast they can listen to. But what was it that drew you to meditation? And what do you think it was doing to help you strengthen your mindset?
It was anxiety, because before my cancer diagnosis, it was like a year before, I was a senior in high school, and I remember having a huge like period of anxiety when I was worried about the future. And I would Google things to help with anxiety, and I found meditation. My mom knew about meditation, and
I was already meditating, but so, I think it's what you're a parent. We know this about you, Paul. So I think that sometimes you have to do things and not tell your kids to do them. You just do them, and your kids are going to watch from your example. And when you tell them you should do this, they're like, I'm not going to do what you tell me, but if you just do it. And I feel like with Michael, that was part of it. Mm-hmm. I had been through a lot of my own after my husband passed away. It was in 2016 when he passed away. I went through my own sort of, not as much anxiety, but like finding hope and finding purpose. And I think that that helped, that I was going through trying to find my own spiritual journey, that he was watching. You know, he was there, like, and he came.
I think that's so wise. I think it's so wise how you did that, because it's so true. If you try to say this is good for you, teens run for the hills.
They do. And I think that's a good thing, because it means that they need to find things on their own. I think that's a sign of them being independent. And as parents, we have to let them go and come to their decisions. But it's so interesting, because I got 3 kids, and it's so interesting to see them come back to things that I wanted to just like put in their face, and now they've come to it on their own. But Michael has really come to it in a beautiful way.
Yeah. So I love that. And so what was it, do you think, about the meditation that helped you, you know, mentally? I knew that you weren't mentally preparing yourself for this, but how do you think it helped you?
I mean, it grounded me in a lot of ways. I think that it helped me just with my overall anxiety. And meditation showed me that I can get through these next 5 minutes just breathing. If I can get through the next 5 minutes, I can get through the next 10 minutes, I can get through the next day. And it was kind of like that when I was diagnosed with cancer and going through chemo, because it was just like, we always said, like, we would take it minute by minute when I was in the hospital. And really, that was the most important thing, was just like, even now when I'm going through what I go through, is just take it minute by minute, and then minutes turn into days and days turn into weeks. And before you know, you're getting through that hard time. And that's really what meditation taught me, is that, you know, you can get through it. You can. And it's not going to be easy, but you can do it.
And speaking of
that, you sound very present with this.
That is what I was about to say. It's a very being in the moment and being present. And it is true. If anyone out there listening has been through cancer, it's this thing, and it drives us crazy. It gets on our nerves, because every nurse, every doctor, everyone in the oncology world says, take it day by day. And it almost becomes this thing that you're like, oh my gosh, if someone else says day by day, I'm going to strangle them. But the truth is, it's true. And we even transformed the day by day. When he was in the bone marrow transplant, we were like, forget the day by day. It's changing. It's changing hour by hour. It's changing minute by minute. And it does really make you get in that present moment. And I think that that's beautiful, what he said about being grounded. And like, you know, when you're grounded and you have just that one peaceful moment, we need to quiet our minds. And I think when you're going through hard times, that's one of the things that happens, is our minds get so noisy. And I think just having the meditation, that break, it's like our bodies need to sleep, but our minds need to rest too. And sleep does not always rest your mind, but meditation sometimes can do it better.
Yeah, you're training your mind. I mean, it must have been difficult for both of you to have, you know, a normal human mind that is going to run into the future and predict the worst, you know, those catastrophizing thoughts and things. And was that what you were using meditation to help you with? How did you manage that for both of you?
Yeah, it definitely helped a lot. And my mom and I, we would always do our workouts.
We would do yoga.
Our workouts and yoga little sessions we had when we were home, and even in the hospital, we would do them too. That helped just so much. You know, it's easy to get into your head and be like, what can happen? So many things can happen. But really all we have, like we said, is just the present moment. And there's so much we can't control. So it's also important that, like, if we're focusing on our breath work, or we're focusing on some stretching and yoga or exercise that we're doing, we're like focusing on what we can control. And that's really all you can do when you have a serious disease like cancer.
That's one of our major points. It's like, I had this poster that would go with us when we were admitted. It's, you know, it's not what happens, it's how you react that matters. Because it's true. That's one thing that I'll hear over and over again. People that we meet in the cancer world are like, you have no control. It's a feeling of you do not have control. But there really is, and it's hard, but there is a way to control how you react to it. And not always. Gosh, we sound really good right now. Mm-hmm. Not 24/7 enlightened, I'm going to tell you right now. Plenty of moments of breaking down or being upset.
Yeah.
But then coming back to being like, okay, then it's like being tethered to that present moment. Like, you go off and then you're like, okay, now I'm going to come back and we're going to focus on this. And I think it did help that we had each other. I mean, I also have two other children that were amazing during this, but it was during COVID. So it was really the two of us that were together the majority of the time. Hospital visits were hard. And I think that we helped each other a lot, you know. Connection
is so important. It comes across in your videos. Yeah. It does come across. You're like this amazing duo that have, you know, transformed and come through this journey. But where do you think it's come from to have this type of mindset for both of you? I know they're individual mindsets, but you've got these type of mindsets that not only is managing this very difficult situation, but you then decided not to just keep it to yourselves, but to let everyone around the world in on what was going on. You know, where's that mindset coming from? What is it about you two that says, we're going to do this?
Well, I think this mindset, it came from just us wanting to be happy. Like, I think we had no choice but to do what we did in the hospital, what we do now, because or else our situation would have just felt like it was for nothing in a way, because the way I see it and the way my mom and I, we see it is by sharing our story and by posting on social media and by doing podcasts and having our own podcast is that we're helping people because they're people who didn't have, we had a lot of support, and there's people who don't have the relationship that my mom and I have. Like, we had each other through everything and we still do. And there's a lot of people out there who are going through something really difficult and don't have that. But we just want to help the people out there. And I think our messages and everything we've been through, we felt like we owed it to the world just to share it, because we received so much love and so much support when I was diagnosed.
And, you know, you asked where it comes from. That's such a big question. I think it comes from so many places. One thing is, we did go through this with my husband. And it felt like after he passed away, I know that for myself, as I mentioned to you before, I had to kind of be like, okay, why did this happen? We don't know the why. So let's make a purpose out of it. It brought me very close with my children. And I think I was always spiritual, but I think it put me more on a spiritual journey. And I did a lot of listening to podcasts at that time before I even knew that this was happening or going to happen with Michael. And I started my own, you know, how can I make this better? How can I make this better for my children? And then I think that also when Michael was diagnosed, he's heard me tell this story before, but really quickly, I posted a video on Instagram of his friends. He had six friends, and one of them was his brother, shaved their heads with Michael when he lost his hair. He lost his hair really fast. His chemo was very aggressive because the cancer was aggressive. I took a video and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to post it on Instagram, like just on a whim. And so many people, as Michael said, reached out. And I think that kind of opened the door for us, because the feedback was so positive. People always talk about social media and the negative, but our feedback was, wow, this beautiful friend group and people reaching out with so much love, that I think that we started very organically just sharing the story. And I think the more you share, the more we realized it helped people. But then it's that whole reciprocal thing of when you help someone else, you help yourself. So I think that sharing has brought us to more soul searching. Do you know what I mean? When you start to share, I'm sure you've felt this. You have a podcast. I bet. Yeah. I'd be willing to bet. I don't know you very well, but I'd be willing to bet from when you started the podcast to now that you've learned and you've grown. And I think that's been the same for us. The more we've shared, the more we've connected with people, the more internal work you do yourself. And literally, I'm going to be really fast. I'm sorry. But someone we had on our podcast once said hope, and he said, help one person every day. And I remember when he first said it, I was like, oh, that's a beautiful acronym, but does that really have to do with hope? But it does. Because what happens is when you help one person, you realize that there's like a future. You know, because you can have hope if there's a future. When you lose hope is when you don't see a future. I mean, if you can help someone.
That reminds me of Viktor Frankl, the book Man's Search for Meaning. Have you, it's like the
Someone
ultimate
told
mindset.
Me to
book.
Read it, and I really want to read it, but I've heard it's
to read it. But he talks about the same thing, and it really is. You know, I'm a big fan of future self psychology, and I coach people with that. And one of the things that we know is if you can see a future for yourself, because remember, the future doesn't exist, but if you can see a future for yourself, then it will change your thoughts, feelings, and behaviors here in the present moment. So create something that you can aim for, something that you can go for, and it will change how you experience the now. But people who have little hope, no hope, will really struggle, and therefore that can impact their mood and how they feel about themselves presently. So what you're just saying is perfect. I love that. And it is really important to develop that hope for yourself. But that must have been difficult, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Some days it's easy, some moments it's easy, and then other moments it's so hard.
Yeah, I mean, when we were in the hospital for like 5 months at one point, it was impossible for me to see myself ever getting out of there. Like, there was a time where I genuinely did lose hope in the hospital. And that was a very, very rough time. Very rough time because things just kept getting worse and worse. And I always was a very positive person, but there was a lot going on with medications I was on as well, called steroids, which are awful for your mind and do play mind games on you. So that was a very difficult time.
But that was also a gift. That's one of the other things in life is connection. The fact that he had me living with him in the hospital for those 5 months, I think it did help because I didn't lose hope in those moments. I kept seeing the future that Michael was going to come out of this. And I think that sometimes you balance each other, And I think that helped that we had each other a lot. And we were really blessed to have a team. He had a wonderful bone marrow transplant doctor that is also spiritual, which is maybe rare for some people in the oncology world. But he was a gift because he was right there, I think, keeping his hope and would come and sit down and talk to us. And just not even about cancer, not about bone marrow transplant, not about complications, would talk to us about spiritual things, about acceptance, about balance. And that was a gift. That was a gift.
Yeah, I
Definitely,
think
that
for some
was.
people hearing that as well, 'cause I love the spiritual route, and I love that you feel there's been an awakening with this. Was there a, crisis of faith with this? I don't know what your faith system is. It sounds very spiritual to me, but was there ever a crisis of faith, as in, why me? Why have I got this going on? Why have I got this struggle?
Do you want to answer that? We both probably want to answer that.
I never tried to ask myself why me, because there's nothing I could really do about it. Like, if I say why me, it's not gonna get me anywhere. And but there was a point, like I said, where I did kind of lose hope, but I never really was like, why me? Because I felt like it, bad things just happen to people, good people sometimes. And you can't do anything about it. You just can't be like a victim of your situation. There's nothing you can do except choose how you react. And that's just been our biggest thing is there's nothing you can do about it. So why I've been trying to do this more now, because I also do worry about things that I shouldn't worry about as a normal person with anxiety and PTSD would do. But one of the biggest things, it's just if I can't control it, I try to just let it go. And that was our mindset and still is our mindset, as I've gone through a lot in the last few months, having a major surgery on my knee and all these new health issues that are always seeming to come my way. But, I can't do anything about it except focus on what I can control.
Yeah, I think the spiritual awakening for me was before. It was after losing my husband. And I was always spiritual, but I think then it put it from like, oh yeah, it's definitely here, it's definitely here. But it brought it from here and here to like right here, right in front of my face. And that was one of the biggest things. I remember saying this to his brother and sister. I remember saying, Michael is blowing my mind because he is not asking why. He didn't say why. And we even made a shirt and I wear it all the time and it says, there is no why. And there is no why does not mean there is no purpose. There is no why, but you can still find a purpose. We don't know the why. I don't think we're going to find it in this lifetime, to be honest with you. But I think just because you don't have a why doesn't mean you can't find your purpose and go through that and make it your purpose. And I think that has been huge. And it is true from the beginning, we have been in this place of a lot of love. And love and hope have just been huge. And it is cliche, sometimes it's very cliche in the cancer world, like all the signs, like the hope and sometimes, and that's another thing that gets like, okay, if I hear the word hope again, but it really is a beautiful word and you really do need it and you really do appreciate it. And I don't think as a duo, we've never lost hope. Sometimes we've had to help each other and balance each other. But having people in your life helps. Not feeling alone helps.
Yeah, and I think in a way what you're describing is true spirituality. You know, it's that awakening to what you said, Michael. I mean, that is so wise. And I hope a lot of people listening to this would just understand how important it is to, because it's easy to fall into victim mindset, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Especially in a situation like this.
It is, yeah. It's very
But to move from victim to just being the creator of your experience, that is powerful.
Especially for someone young. I mean, especially for anyone.
It's true, because you develop habits, you know. And I feel like over time, it's harder to change your habits once you've created them. And that's the same thing with mindset, I've learned as well.
And also adapting. Adapting has been really big. Sometimes in life, you have to turn. You have to bend. You have to adapt to your circumstances. And again, it's not saying let's be complacent. But sometimes there's things that are beyond your control. And if you can find a way to accept them, to adapt, I think it really does help. There was a moment. And, you know, sometimes with cancer, people talk about mindset as if it's the cure. And so sometimes you kind of, you know, you want to recoil a little bit from that. And it's, well, does that mean he got cancer because he didn't have a good mindset? Does that mean my husband died because he didn't have a good mindset? And you don't want to think that way either. But I think that having this mindset of, I accept that I'm going through this, but I'm going to do everything I can to adapt and still make my life beautiful has been, it's incredible for me to watch as a mother.
Yeah.
To see my kid.
But it's incredible that that's part of your sort of family dynamic. That seems to be something that you've all been cultivating together. And do you ever think, looking at the bigger picture, because that seems to be your kind of mindset, do you think there's a bigger purpose to all of this? That, again, that you're not quite aware of, that there's something you're part of that maybe this, you might not know the reason why, but do you think there's something in this which is what's guiding you to through this experience?
For sure. I mean, I think hopefully we know it, because I think it's just we're helping people. And I just feel like there's people out there that will message me and tell us how much hope that our videos give them, and our podcasts and stuff. And I think that's the bigger purpose out there, is just we know that what we're doing is potentially saving people's lives in a way and keeping them going on whatever they're going through, because they see us going through all these hardships and they realize that they're not alone. Even if it's from a distance, they can still see what we've been through and what we go through, and that we're still here and we can find the positive in it.
And I believe like you do that there is a bigger purpose, and there is a spiritual, you know, there is more than just this physical body. So I believe like you do, you know, there's been times we felt like maybe there was a reason, you know, that my husband went through that cancer and he didn't survive.
Yeah.
And maybe that's helped to guide us. It has helped to guide us. 100% it's helped. I mean, we learned so much going through that for this. So, you know, I think there is, as we were talking about, I think it was before this podcast, the ripple effect. And I think there is a ripple effect. But then there are choices in life that you make. You can take what's happened to you and make the choice to make it part of your spiritual journey and make it part of your purpose. Or as we were saying earlier, you can make it yourself a victim. But when you make yourself a victim, I think you're cutting yourself off from the spirituality and from the connection with other people. And why are we here?
Sometimes that happens. Yeah, I think sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Because I've been talking about this on my podcast recently, that when we reach that crisis of faith, you know, that dark night of the soul, there's lots of different names for it. Then sometimes being in that, you know, rock bottom can suddenly just snap you into awakening to your truth. And it is important, isn't it, to find your truth, not anyone else's. And that's what I'm listening to here, is the discovery of your truth and how you're going to manage this. You've had, obviously, there's been a lot of support, but just hearing your own battle through this and how you've created your own way of managing that through almost like refining constantly your mindsets.
Yeah, and there was. I mean, for us, I think the hardest moment wasn't the diagnosis. For Michael, as he said, there was a period in there that he was admitted to hospital for a long time, and there was not a lot of hope for his survival physically. And I think that crisis, hitting rock bottom there, was a turning point. And it was a turning point for acceptance, I think, for you. I saw it. And I think that, yeah, whatever you do want to call it, people call it different things. But it does take us as humans. A lot of times we have to go through crisis. When everything is just like this, that's a danger sign, because you're not going to go up. You're not going to go up. And I think a lot of times we have to go down so that we can go up again.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in those down periods. Yeah, they let us know that we're carrying baggage maybe that we could let go of. If we want to soar higher, we're going to have to let go of a few things and discover more about our truth.
Yes, we talk a lot about letting go.
Yeah, I can imagine. I was reading some statistics recently that there's a rise in cancer in younger people, younger folk.
We were talking about this yesterday.
So what do you think is going on? I mean, environmental, lifestyle, what do you think is happening that might be a cause of the rise in cancer in young people?
I think it's a mix of people getting access to more healthcare because there's more, it's easily available nowadays. It's the technology has advanced.
It's more detectable. It's easier to detect.
We're not misdiagnosing people as much. But also, I do think it is a lifestyle thing as well. I think the amount of processed foods out there doesn't really help, and the amount of stuff in the environment isn't the best. But I really can't give you an honest answer because I'm not like a doctor or a scientist. I don't know too much about this part about it. But from what I see, it's just, there's the food out there. It's not the best, and the way people eat definitely does something.
But I can say one thing, like, for example, Michael's cancer, hepatosplenic T-cell lymphoma. I think the first diagnosed case was in the 80s, but it wasn't because it didn't exist before the 80s. It's because it's very hard to diagnose. And even when once the first case was actually diagnosed, most people would die before they would get the diagnosis, and then get the diagnosis after. And because now they can detect it, like Michael was really lucky that it was detected. And when he was diagnosed, within 2 days, he started treatment. So, you know, and also his doctor was brilliant. As soon as he realized he had cancer, he did start him on a treatment that covers all blood cancers. So I think there is a piece that we are diagnosing people more accurately, but then you can't help but to think environmental.
That's
why I think some blaming ourselves sometimes on, you know, our mindset. You know, there's also some sort of spiritual beliefs that you attract these things, and I'm not a big fan of that side of things.
I'm not either, obviously.
No, it's just a bit toxic. But again, it's these things, we're humans having this experience, and unfortunately we do live in environments, genetics, there can be all sorts of reasons, which lifestyle, which, you know, can contribute to cancer and other illnesses. And it's just the mindset around that can really help you adapt. And that's what I really like about your story, about how you adapted. And with the rising cancer, I think your story and how you're dealing with that and your journey is more important than ever.
I
think so too, but I love what you said, that often people like to, and you know, we are huge on mindset. We are huge on having a positive attitude. We are huge on hope and love, but it is also, we don't want to play the blame game either, that I think sometimes, you know, Michael's cancer, hepatosplenic, people say, oh, liver, is he angry? And I'd be like, no, this wasn't an angry kid. You know, he was a windsurfer, like on the ocean, like, chill. So you don't want to play that blame. And we know people that have passed away that were angels, the light. We know children. Yeah. So it's very hard to do that. But I think it's the quality of life, the way you live your life without knowing the why.
Exactly.
Yeah, none of us get a free pass, I think, no matter what our experiences are on environmental and lifestyle, etc. So I think nothing is permanent. Everything is impermanent. So it just happens as it happens, and we'll deal with it. I wanted to ask you what your thoughts were around, you know, when you were diagnosed, Michael, and also for you, Ashley. You mentioned, you know, mindset might be brought up, and, you know, talking about his liver, was he an angry child? What sort of things are not helpful to hear when you are diagnosed, or for you as a mom, Ashley?
What are not? I mean, I think when people send you a message, and when I was diagnosed and people sent me a message and they seem more devastated than I was, it didn't help. And also I think when people message you out of like pity for themselves, because I had people message me that I didn't talk to in years because I didn't have like the best relationship with them. And I think they just messaged me because they kind of just like felt bad. And I think when I was first diagnosed, I didn't like people messaging me out of pity. You know, I think that was something I didn't like to hear. And another thing, I didn't like to hear anyone ever tell me to change my diet, to go to see different doctors, people to ask me not to do chemotherapy, not to do radiation. People would say, do this. And I think just anything that's like not from a cancer survivor or not from someone who's been in my position, that's just suggesting something they read on the internet, it's a little offensive, and it just kind of invades your privacy a little bit. So just anything that's like telling you to do something different than what you want to do, is you should not say a lot to anyone who's newly diagnosed.
And did you say something at the time, Michael? Did you say anything like, this isn't helpful, or were you not sure what to do with that at the time?
I was just like, thank you, I'll look into it. Like, I didn't say anything. I didn't want to be, I was like, you know what? Maybe they're just trying to be nice. I'm just going to say, thank you. That means a lot. And that was it.
That's been our thing. Like, we were talking about this yesterday, is that often people message you, and even though it might hurt your feelings, usually it's coming from a good place. They are wanting to help you. They're wanting to share what they know, but sometimes it is hard. I know for me, when Michael was diagnosed, and I didn't Google it, but I knew it was serious. And I had three close friends that I called up, and I said, you know, this was during COVID too. And I was like, let's do a Zoom, because I wanted to be face to face with them without being face to face. And the very first thing I said was, please don't tell me not to have Michael undergo chemotherapy. Please don't tell me that Michael shouldn't do radiation, because we have a roadmap, and it's going to be chemo, it's going to be radiation, it's going to be bone marrow transplant. And we're going with this. He has an aggressive cancer. We don't have time to wait. And one of my friends is very holistic and spiritual. I know she's very against chemo and everything, and I love her to death. But I told her that like immediately. And you know, people do message us like, and I love Joe Dispenza, but people will send me like, listen to Joe Dispenza cure cancer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank you. I love Joe Dispenza. But Michael didn't get cancer because he didn't listen to Joe Dispenza.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has a lot of complications. And I don't think it's because his mindset is not fabulous.
No.
It is. His body has been through a lot. And his quality of life, because of his mindset, is way better than a lot of people I know. And that's really important.
I think it is really important, because, you know, I've interviewed a few people. I interviewed Whitney Allen, and when she lost her husband, and I was asking, what is it you don't want to hear from people when you're grieving? And, you know, from the other person's perspective, sometimes we feel powerless and we don't know what to do. So, and that sort of powerlessness can provide quite clumsy responses. That's why I really wanted to bring up that question. So anyone listening to this can go, maybe I won't try to advise anyone on how to think differently about their cancer. Maybe I'll just be a support.
But you know what, for caregivers? I'm going to tell you a quick one for caregivers. When people say, yeah, what can I do for you? Sometimes that's a really hard one because you're already juggling a million things. You're already, your mind, and you're like, now I have another responsibility to think of what I can tell this person. If you want to help a caregiver sometimes, I think the thing to say is, you know, I can come help you do your laundry. I can be there tomorrow at 3:00. If that's not good for you, tell me another time, or, you know, something like offer a solution or just offer, I love you, I'm thinking of you. Because I think sometimes when people are like, what can I do? You're just like, I don't know.
That's true.
That's very true, isn't it? It's like another thing to think about.
Yes.
Oh, do you know, it's been absolutely amazing talking to you both. Where are you now on your health, Michael?
So I have chronic GVHD, graft versus host disease, as a result of the transplant. So I'm still doing a treatment, not chemo. It's called extracorporeal photopheresis. I'm doing it twice a week, every other week right now. And actually just got moved to twice a week, every 3 weeks, which is a big deal, but still on immunosuppressants, still have a lot of like health issues and a lot going on, but I'm alive and this seems like something you can live with for hopefully a normal lifespan. We'll see, but doing pretty well overall compared to how I was.
That's really good to hear. And what about you, Ashley?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm here with you. So I'm fabulous. I'm next to him. You know, it's that whole thing we were talking about before. It's, you have a choice of where you look. You know, I can look at my husband died way too young, or I can look at he lived and he was my husband for that time. And that's a, that's how I would like to look at it. And yes, Michael went through this cancer and it's awful, but Michael survived this and he's still here. And so, and look at what we're doing and hopefully helping other people. So we're trying to make our choices. It doesn't deny that the negative, it's always like, it's the beauty and the pain. The pain is there, but if you can focus on the beauty, you're that much further ahead, right?
Exactly.
So. Wow. I think a lot of people listening to this are going to be sat there writing down a lot of things that have been said. They're so inspiring. And so if people wanted to find out more about you both, where can they contact you? Where can they, you know, connect?
So I'd say Instagram is probably the easiest. Instagram,
or the website.
Or the website. Both. MichaelAndMomTalkCancer.com.
Yep. That's the website and the podcast.
Yeah. And the Instagram is Michael, M-I-C-H-I-E-L, Reed, R-E-I-D, Kramer, C-R-A-M-E-R, Michael Reed Kramer on Instagram. And Ashley Kramer on Instagram, Ashley with 2 E's. Not an E-Y.
But he posts more. Yeah. And we post a lot together on his. So.
Exactly.
Well, and I'm following you, Michael. I'm following your staff, and I've been, you know, that's how I contacted you. And just very quickly, you have a book out.
Yeah. I just published my book a month ago, I'd say, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. So Beyond the Blood is out now. Yeah, on Amazon, I can get it, or another booksellers.
Yeah, Amazon. Just Amazon right now.
Just Amazon? Lovely. Okay, lovely. I'm going to put all these links, by the way, into the show notes anyone listening to this, just scroll down, click and follow. That would be lovely. Go buy the book. That would be wonderful. Thank you so much for coming onto the show. It's been absolutely amazing to meet you both and have this wonderful, deeply spiritual conversation. Who knows where it was going to go? We said that. We didn't know where it was going to go.
Beautiful conversation. Thank you so much. What a joy talking to you.
It was. Thank you.
Thank you. And to everyone listening, thank you so much for joining me on the Mindset Change podcast. I look forward to connecting with you on the very next episode. Have a wonderful, peaceful, and present day.